Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
And lo, the gods looked down and they said, Hey buddy, what way do you swing? What are you into? Whatever you're into, that's cool. I'm cool with it. We can make it happen. You know what I'm talking about? Because anything is good. Love is good. Let's just do this. And this is American Godcast. I'm Alex.
I'm a long-haul trucker who also happened to be staying at the Peacock Motel. And boy, did I get an eyeful. I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are going to be talking about the 8th episode of Season 3 of American Gods, The Rapture of Burning Requisite.
Season 2? Is it Season 2?
3.
Oh, really?
Right? Missed the whole season there, huh, Pete?
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh boy,
I like that you're checking your notes. Like, wait a second, let me just double check here. season 3. Okay, check seems to
checks
check out.
Wait, just to double check, did you watch season 2, episode 8, Pete?
Yeah, The Rapture of Burning.
Okay, that's season 3, episode 8. I just want to make sure you did watch a season back, and that's what you want to talk about. We're going to get
season
into
four,
it, and for all of you,
six.
Hopefully you watch The Rapture of Burning, because we're going to go through a ton of spoilers here. We're not going to talk about every story point, but we are going to talk about some favorite moments. So, quick recap here. We basically have a couple of trains running. The main one is Salim and Laura, as mentioned, go and stop at the Grand Peacock Inn. Let's have it in a big omnisexual jam. Marie, Salim,
yes.
Laura both work out a lot of their shit at this hotel. Salim finally gets over the gin, seemingly, by the end of the episode, thanks to a sensual encounter. And Laura meets a new leprechaun, played by Ian Rion, who you probably know as Ramsay Bolton from Game of Thrones, as well as Misfits. Maybe some of you know him from Misfits, his work over there
as
well.
Oh, yes, that's it.
But great actor. She has a new leprechaun friend by the end and is starting to work her way past Mad Sweeney. She gives up his ashes, gets the spear, Odin's spear. What are we calling it? I wanted to say Spear of Destiny, but that's not what it is.
Ooh. I mean, that's fine. I think that's a good name for it.
Sure, why not? Big old spear, and she is going off to kill Wednesday in order to save her life, save Salim's life, and save Shadow Moon's life. Shadow doesn't really know about much of this because he has been kidnapped by Tyr, Odin's brother, this episode, gets taken to a remote wolf's den. Wednesday comes to rescue him, surprisingly, faces down to Tyr. They have a big fight. Tyr ends up dead thanks to Shadow Moon, and Wednesday absolves him of his debt and leaves. And Shadow is pretty stunned. And the last little bit is Technical Boy is trying to work out his own issues, figure out what is wrong with himself. So Miss World, back again this episode, Danny Trejo,
nowhere
to be seen, slaps that old face mask on him that we haven't seen, I think, since season 1. He goes into a virtual wonderland, meets who I'd like to call Technical Bilquis, and works through a bunch of the issues, and
also
goes off to take back his mojo, if you will.
Oh my
God.
A
lot of mojo in this episode. A lot of people getting their groove back, and you gotta love it. And honestly, what a great promotion for the Peacock streaming service that this whole episode was.
Oh man.
That's if you subscribe if you get the ad tier of Peacock, you don't get any of this stuff. But if you get the premium version of Peacock, there's all a lot of fucking.
It's
a lot of jamborees.
All the different characters from the different Peacock NBC Universe shows are just fucking each other.
You ever want to see The Office go to town on Punky Brewster? Peacock premium.
Oh, come on, man.
No, the older version, the reboot. She's an adult now. It's fine.
The reboot.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Alex really put his foot right in his mouth. Which is also happens to be my fetish. So I was really enjoying
it. I like
that.
This episode. Again, I think, you know, I was kind of down on the beginning of this season, but I think it's really hit its groove. And the stuff with Salim and Laura, I'm sure Pete's going to have something crazy to say about Laura, but I thought this was all really good. I really like these sequences. I thought they were emotional, smart, fun. I enjoyed them quite a bit.
Yeah, I agree. Like, they're a good combo, and the way that they were giving each other shit for not getting over their issues in the middle of the episode, and then they got over them subsequently. At least, definitely Salim, and then Laura over Matt Sweeney enough to dump his ashes, which sort of puts a nail in the coffin for the idea that we're going to see Matt Sweeney again.
Nah.
We're not going to see him again. We're on to an entirely new leprechaun named Liam Doyle, played again by Ewan Rian, which is great.
Wait, that's, you can that's only an have one leprechaun on?
That's, what?
It's just a one leprechaun limit? You can only have one leprechaun on the show?
How many? Look at a box of Lucky Charms. How many leprechauns are on the front there?
Okay. All
right. One, right?
Fine. How many leprechauns do you know in your life, Pete? I would be shocked if it was two.
Well, it is two because of the show.
Yeah, only one at a time, though.
Well, I tell you what, I don't think it, I'm not giving up on the Mad Sweeney. I don't care if she is. But
you can keep, like, I have a ton of leprechaun ashes in my place.
It looks like your basement is full of leprechaun ashes, actually.
Yeah. It's great.
Leprechauns go to die.
This is a true fact. If you go to the beach, that's not sand, that's leprechaun ashes.
It's true. It's tragic. I can't believe people go there to have fun because it's truly, that is
awful.
Truly tragic.
It's horrifying.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is with leprechauns is there's a map to where you're going to catch them.
Yeah.
It's the end of the rainbow.
Well, let's talk about this plot line. This starts off with another sort of times past thing where we get to see the origin of the Grand Peacock Inn, which I thought was really neat and a very different take on this American gods thing that we do.
Yeah. Nice. Wow, Alex, you're really coming around on the show. This whole American God scheme.
Well, I don't know. There was a better way of saying that, but you guys know what I mean. What do you think about this beginning scene?
I loved it. And to your point, I think this is what I wish the show had been doing. I mean, I think we've loved these sequences throughout the whole every season, the whole run of the series. But to have it be like sort of a backstory on a god or godlike thing that then plays into the episode is so smart. And it was such a sweet, it's almost like short film about this little encounter and the blessing of this place as a place of safety for whoever needs it on the roadside of America. Like, especially those who are just like othered for any reason. It was really nice. And then when the dude became butterflies, I was like, yes.
The rabbit god was glorious. I mean, that was so much fun. The way he happily ate his breakfast and then blew butterfly kisses that then, of course, turned into a peacock that protects throughout all time and seasons.
I like the fact that this show is really digging into different issues and different marginalized groups over the course of the season. We've seen Native American gods. We've seen African American gods that have moved to America, which is not new. They've hit that quite a bit over the course of the three seasons. And now we're getting an LGBTQ plus god as well. It's interesting. It gives it a very different mode than we've had throughout the course of the three seasons now. And that's great.
It also made me think, watching this episode, how much scandal or like drama was around the season. Like, it's going to be a mess. Everything's all over the place. This feels like there's so much going on, yet the show feels more cohesive, I think, than it ever has before. All the characters feel like they're on a track, as opposed to in earlier seasons, it felt like, you know, we liked it, or I liked it, but all the characters felt like, oh, they're just all sort of bouncing around in here. And now it does feel like there's intention with everything.
I think it took them a little while to get there. Honestly, you know, the first half of the season in my mind was a little rough and all over the place. Pete, I'm talking sometimes.
The first quarter of the season was my, you know, I appreciate 15 minutes here, and there were 45 minutes later on in the season that I really appreciated.
First of all, that is an amazing impression of me. It is spot on, and Solid I agree golden. With everything that you said. So thank you, Pete.
Wait, that was Pete talking? I thought for sure that was just Alex making a point.
Well, can we talk about the car they were driving in this episode?
Yes, thank you. Thank
Man. Oh, I came buckets.
What?
That is
that's Pete. You're always saying that. Happened.
Wait, that wasn't Pete talking with his signature catchphrase? I came buckets? That's crazy. God, you guys are so good.
Oh, my God. I'm losing it.
Oh, I'm Justin, and I'm also here.
Wow.
That was great.
Wow.
That was you talking? That's crazy.
That was amazing.
That was me. Wow. I did a little impression of myself.
Wow. You really are classically trained. That was so good. I believed it was you.
It took a little while to get here, but I do appreciate in the last couple of episodes that they really have figured out this new rhythm for the show. It does feel like a different show, you know, like we talked about, I think maybe even as far back as episode two or three of this season, there's more of a typical TV feeling of it with some flourishes in terms of the visuals. So maybe it's also partially as a viewer just getting used to, okay, this is not the wild visual roller coaster of the first two seasons. This is more a TV show that we're watching, but that's okay too, you know, because it's working. Yeah. That's the only important thing.
Yeah, really the only part that I'm taking out because of the production situation or choices is the Miss World, Mr. World jump around that happens every episode or two. Otherwise, I feel like it is like it feels tighter than it has in the past.
Yeah, I agree with you on the Miss World. We could probably talk about the technical boy stuff a little bit because it also feels like maybe they just had a couple of days in this one room or something like that, because it's always in the same room, always in the same conference room. They just keep That's switching hilarious. The actors in there and going with that set. And like we talked about before, all the New God stuff just feels so much smaller when compared to everything else. But that said, really enjoyed the technical boy, technical Bilquis sequence. That was a fun use of Bilquis. Even if it wasn't real Bilquis. And I'm interested to see where they're going with Technical Boy and where this is going to end up.
Well, especially because it feels like the other side of the show is like setting up for the big finale. While Technical Boy is sort of like in act one being like, can you believe I have emotions? Pinocchio sort of. Bye. I'll be around. I'm going to figure this out.
But it's also kind of like, I like the struggle of it because it's kind of like a classic dude move to be like, I don't know what emotions are. I'm having problems, you know? And I really like the kind of like young hip Bilquis who's got all the answers and is like, does the subconscious have to do everything? I thought that was really fun. Them going back and forth was hysterical. And then the classic, you know, Dorothy, you've had the power the whole time to kind of move. I thought it was very not only hilarious, but then the juxtaposition of like how much pain he's in, but then the outside shot of like the shitty conference room with the backdrop and then the elevator music playing was just such a fun thing.
That was a fun bit. Pete, are there some emotions you want to talk about? You kind of started off with this thing about a very classic dude thing about not expressing emotions. I feel like I express my emotions all the time. Justin definitely does.
I'm crying right now.
Is there anything you want to share, Pete?
Well, this was, I thought, like a really nice app, especially when people who hate Laura Moon, like give her a little bit of like she's calling herself an asshole and owning it in a way that's like a little bit easier to deal with. And like, I was just as happy as Laura Moon was by the end of this episode. I mean, if you want to talk about emotion, like I got a little choked up because like we got to witness a Patrick Swayze throat rip that I didn't think I'd ever see again, but there it was in this episode, and I got emotional. Like you thought it was dead with Patrick, but like the fact that they're keeping it alive in this show was just very touching. And
I bet he's in heaven right now looking down going, wow, that was really cool.
Yeah, I mean the blood gushing out of the throat, like, oh, what a shot.
Pete is of course referencing the scene in Dirty Dancing when Patrick Swayze rips Jerry Orbach's throat out after he tries to put Baby in the corner. Oh.
Roadhouse.
Is that what he says to Jerry Orbach when he's ripping out his throat? Roadhouse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very confusing.
See you in Roadhouse.
They call it Dirty Dancing because of all the blood. That's the dirty part.
That's right. That's the dirty part. Yeah, I mean, that scene was actually very cool if we want to talk about it. Now that you've, I guess, talked about your emotions. Was that what that was?
We're talking about the emotions of this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know. It was interesting. You really went into it. I feel like I know you so much more, Technical Pete. that moment was very cool. Tyr, at the beginning of this episode, was like a cool badass. That scene and the guy's like, oh, that's not a seizure, an epileptic seizure. And you just see him pop his claw, Pete, because of his missing hand.
Yep.
Jabs that dude out.
He's got sharp bones, and we get to see them pretty much clearer in the Tyr Wednesday fight towards the end. Do you think that's something like his bones broke off like that and they were naturally sharp, or did he sharpen up his arm bones?
Well, remember, he's a dentist, mm-hmm. so teeth are just weird bones. So
yeah,
I think he sharpened those bones up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I told you guys this. This actually just happened to me the other day. My baby arm teeth just fell out, and I think my adult arm teeth are coming in.
Wow. Are you going to sharpen them? You should sharpen them.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely going to sharpen them. I left my arms under the pillow, and I'm hoping the arm fairy comes later.
Yeah, you're going to get a big payday.
So much money.
Yeah. It is The Rock. Just so if you're worried, it's definitely going to be The Rock.
What you're talking about. Let's talk about the Tyr thing then, the whole storyline with Shadow Moon, since we've touched on that. I was surprised, very surprised, honestly, about how all of this wrapped up and how this played out. It felt like Tyr was taking Shadow to the Wolf's Den to make him into some sort of sacrifice, but it wasn't. Wednesday saying, you know, cool, let's do this. I'm going to kill you. Great, Shadow Moon. You're good. I felt like Shadow Moon at the end there. I was kind of stunned and shocked about how this turned out, because we're so used to Wednesday coming up with a turn there, but this really felt final, if anything.
I think after Demeter's death, like, he has been, like, I don't know, maybe trying to do better, it seems like, with Shadow Moon, or maybe he's just, like, I don't know, but, like, that move of just like, peace out, good luck with your life, you're no longer in my, you know, debt or whatever.
I just want to say, before you say it, Justin, just, we record this on Skype, and watching your face, you're just watching us like, you fucking rubes.
I was gonna, the words I was gonna use was, you two dopes, you goobers, you're believing Wednesday. You're like, oh yeah, you're right, he's done. I bet we'll never see him again. He's out of here. He said, get rid of the car. That's his last line on the series. After he said that, they were like, that's a wrap. They put him away.
Thanks.
This show's
we're
over
good.
For
we
him.
Don't need Ian McShane anymore.
Yep. Done with him. Thanks for coming.
Well, what was your take on the storyline then, Justin?
So yeah. I thought it's great. I mean, it occurred to me, like, Odin is such a Loki. And it's interesting how they're from the same mythology, but Odin is just the Loki of this show. And he lies to Tyr right in front of him. And then he's like, okay, here we go. Let's go. We're going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. And then he says, Shadow, you're done. And that's clearly not the case. I mean, it's the line that Tyr says right before he dies is, the death I give, Shadow interrupts their head-to-head fight, which you're not supposed to do. As we all know in bar fight rules, which we've all been in many bar fights.
Sure, Pete.
Alex?
Yeah, all the time.
Even during COVID, we just go to the bar and fight.
Well, I just sort of swing my arms around and it doesn't touch anybody because we're all safely 6 feet away from each other.
You know how, like, some people, when they fight, they put, like, they dip their hands in, like, a, you know, glass and try to get, I do that with COVID, and that's how I fight in the bar.
Jesus, what the
fuck? Hey, man, you should, that jar of COVID you have, make sure you close it up before you dip your hand into it.
You gotta keep it closed.
To get loose. So the idea of you having, of dipping your fist in COVID is very strange to me. Yeah.
Is it, what is it? Is it like a gas or a liquid or what's going on there?
I think you're dipping your hand in mayonnaise or something. You have someone who's calling it COVID.
Yeah, it's probably just
going
blue
to a
cheese.
Deli. Hey, can I get a turkey and COVID sandwich?
Coming up. So they're fighting. Shadow interrupts. So Tyr's like, I have to kill you. And he says, the death I give you will be a mercy compared to your pho. Yeah. And then he gets killed. Yeah. That's all you need to know. There's more coming from Wednesday. That's it. For you guys to say it's over with, that's crazy.
I'm just saying.
Well, I don't know why you think you know what he was saying. Like, he was actually like mid word when he got stabbed. So you don't know where that sentence could have gone. Could have been like, father, but now that I think about it, he's actually turned a new leaf and is, you know, it seems like doing better.
You think he was going to say, compared to your falafel?
It could be.
Oh, he was going to say, compared to your falafel.
I got to say, though. For an old man battle, like, that was fun to watch.
That was fun to watch.
I don't know if I want to see these two old guys fight, but then it was pretty badass.
I appreciated that Dennis O'Hare seemed to maybe actually learn the fight choreography while Ian McShane sat that out. Very clearly.
Yeah, 100%. And also, I was like, oof. If I were these two guys, I would have sent younger versions of myself to do this fight because they looked a little rickety.
Yeah.
Little, but you saw the bones wobbling on that fight.
Do you think this was a two-hander con job? Like, is Tyr actually in on it in some way, whatever Wednesday is trying to do, if it is a con job, which it probably is? Or was this legitimately Tyr was killing Wednesday's followers? Wednesday took him out of the equation, killed his brother, and then is moving on with whatever the next step is.
It seemed like his gripe was legit. And yeah, if I got my hand bitten off for my brother because he like did some like just passed it off to the next person, I'd be pretty upset about it.
I think it was definitely a real fight, and here's the connection to the rest of the episode. The other half of the show is about Salim and Laura moving on from their feelings that they have, their lost loves. And Tyr was unable to move on from his feelings for Demeter, and then she vanished because of Wednesday's involvement. He'll never get her back, so he is getting – that flipped him, and because he hasn't moved on, he died.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think that's not explicit, so they don't really say that. But to me, that it makes a lot of sense to have these stories happening at the same time based on what we've seen of the season.
No, I think that works as a theme. I like that. What else can we talk about here? We've kind of ran through all three storylines, but are there any particular bits that you guys wanted to call out?
I just wanted to just bring up Douche Canoe, cool new Bilquist or tech Bilquist use of the English language was just on such a nice level. And I had to pause after Douche Canoe and get myself back together and then hit play.
That is a very like if Pete, if you told me, oh, yeah, I wrote one episode of American Gods this season. And I was like, no, you didn't. You were like, watch. And
yeah. That the person throw went butt, to, when, like, when, oh, come on.
And when Bilquist said Douche Canoe, I was like, that's got Pete LePage's hands all over it.
Oh, that was just glorious.
I want to talk through the rest of the Laura stuff a little bit more and just all the stuff that happened at the Peacock Hotel, because Laura and and Liam, I thought was just fun. He finally shows up at the end. The whole end of the episode felt like a 90s like indie comedy, a little bit or something. Yeah. The way the music
Came up as she was walked strutting off, it was really nice.
It's called the new Leprechaun, and the tagline is she thought her luck run out until
I guess you can get lucky twice.
Pete, and you want to throw out a slogan or anything?
You were,
tagline?
There you
have no, I'm not going to. You guys are on your own on your Douche Canoe. I'm not going to join you.
He's a four-leaf clover.
Ooh, good. That's thanks. Good. It plays better in text, but okay. I'll go for it.
Thank you. You were saying about the actual storyline, Justin.
No, I was going to do something about a pot of gold, but you're probably right. We can go back to actual commentary. The tone of the way this episode sort of through the Peacock stuff I thought was interesting. And then the whole like the place when we got to really experience what it was like inside the Peacock. It was a place of safety and peace, sexual freedom, leave your shame at the door. Like, that whole thing was great. The music I thought was, again, such a weird choice. It was sort of like calming. It felt very 90s throughout the whole thing. Tonally, to have all this like crazy God fighting happening on one side, and then to have this like very like chill, I got my spear to my murder spear on the other side, I thought was an interesting juxtaposition.
Yeah, I like the stuff with Salim. You know, this is not to compare another show, but
here we go.
Well, I know, Pete, you've seen Doom Patrol. I don't think you've seen Doom Patrol yet, Justin, but there's this amazing episode with Danny the Street in the second season where they go there, and it's not nearly as explicit what's going on here with American Gods, but there's a lot of stuff with Matt Bomer's character, Negative Man, where he's also very tight. Like, he doesn't accept his sexuality. He's not sure about it. He's not sure about being out there. And there's this incredible sequence where he finally lets go and has this whole dance party to Kelly Clarkson on Danny the Street. It's magical, like tears in everybody's eyes while they're watching it. And I couldn't help but think of that while I was watching this, because this is great and beautifully filmed. And I love that emotionally that Salim got to this place. But there was something slightly weird about the fact that, well, he's got to get boned once and then he's totally fine.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think I rationalized that because I agree. I did like the sequence. It was less about his feelings for the djinn were tied up with his feelings about himself and coming into like his sexuality in a real way. And so I do think he was using the djinn not being there as a little bit of a cover for, I think, for not really getting with himself and being able to figure it out. So I do think it made a little more sense that he was able to, like, when he lost the sweater.
Oh, man.
He was able to be like, I am who I am. And I to end with him praying, I thought was interesting. And it's sort of a sign of accepting himself, because he said that God, he used to think God made him this way, and love is love, sort of. And then because of what happened with the djinn, he sort of lost that. It was a fun flip to have praying be the thing that you go back to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that quite a bit. I thought that was a very smart choice. Pete, any other moments you wanted to call out?
Yeah, there's a bunch, but I just wanted to say that, like, it was tough because Salim always just really amazing. More people need to listen to Salim in the show when he talks. But the way that he and Laura were able to kind of go back and forth a little bit and say, I love you, was very nice. And like the part where like he completely lost the sweater was such an interesting moment where he didn't care. But then there was like a moment where you thought like, oh, man, is he going to lose his shit? Because like what happened to the sweater? But it just ended up being like a nice, like, no, I don't need the sweater anymore, kind of like letting go of the djinn, which was tough because I was pulling for that relationship for so long. And I'm happy that like he's moved on and seems to be doing great. I just think that like it was such a cool, interesting way to be like, hey, kind of like, you know, a party or like letting go and giving yourself this moment to be okay with who you are and give yourself confidence is very powerful. And then like that thing can, stuff like that can change you forever, which is great. It just was like, I guess when the praying happened, that was his big, like, this is who I am. I just wanted to kind of like feel him a little bit, you know, because he's always so like quietly doing boss moves. I wanted to kind of like, but I guess it wouldn't be Salim. But so I was impressed with that journey. I thought it was really cool. I mean, a couple of too long shots on like weird flowers and stuff. And I was like, okay, all right. You know, it's beautiful and the music is great. But, you know, I just felt like, you know, maybe they could have cut that down a little bit. But anyways,
you hate flowers.
Well, I just like, I get it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're in this kind of like tripped out space time thing. Like, show me a couple flowers, you know, a bunch of fun people having.
Yeah. The other day, you got arrested at that greenhouse, right? You went in there just arms slathered in COVID, punching everything you could. I remember that.
Well, I mean, that was a different kind of fight. But anyways,
and I should take a note here and to only send Pete edible arrangements from now on.
Yeah, otherwise it's gonna get weird.
I call flowers. I call flowers inedible arrangements.
But I mean,
that's cool. Thank you. That must be fun when you bring that home for the old wife.
Here you go. Here's an inedible arrangement. She loves it every time.
Punches you right in the throat.
But, you know, I also think Salim acted pretty innocent for a lot of it. But, like, he called to get the bed repair. You know what I mean? Like, he knew what he was doing. When he called down the front desk and was like, you know, my heart-shaped bed won't stop a rocking. Can you please come up and help me with it?
Can you please come up knocking?
Yeah.
Kai's a hot bellboy, of course. I mean, Kai knows what he's up to. And once Kai looks at you, it's go time.
And, you know, poor Salim didn't stand a chance.
Couple of little things I wrote down. I love the line, you don't trust the guy who refused to kill you, but you fell in love with the guy who did.
Yeah, that was so great.
Very nice. Also, when Wednesday disappears and Shadow yells, no, fuck you, and then tells the moon to fuck itself as well. Very funny. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
And what do we think is going to happen now that Shadow has decided to go to Jacksonville? What's going on there?
That was weird. I mean, we've all been at a bus station and seen a little Florida poster come to life. That's a tourism technique that they've been using for years. Don't trust Florida posters.
Florida posters are notorious for doing that to people. Just like, you know, you're somewhere, you're thinking about going somewhere, you're like 80% sure you want to go there. Then all of a sudden you look over to your left and there's a Florida poster telling you otherwise.
Oh, plus, he's going to, did he say Jacksonville?
Jacksonville, yeah. He's going for spring break.
Yeah, Jacksonville is the wrong town for spring break. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, boy. Poor Shadow. And poor all of you. Let's wrap up here. We're going to have to finish this off with was there something else you wanted to bring up, Justin?
One last thing. I love the line when Tyr and Shadow are hanging out right before Wednesday shows up, and he's just dentisting.
Yeah, he's like, just dentisting. I just always wanted to know. That was hysterical.
Dentists always got a dentist, and they can't fucking help themselves.
Who was most worthy of your worship this episode? Pete, you want to go first?
Wow. That's tough. That's tough. I'm going to have to go with the, lady of the inn. She was just fantastic from the first moment we saw her and helping people out when they needed it, knew who to trust when, and that whole point of like, oh, you don't remember me, do you? That was just like, really magical. So I would say she wins.
Justin, what about you?
That's a great call, Pete. I think for me, I'm going to give it up for Salim. I thought great performance. He plays the actor that plays Salim does so many like blank like stares that are still communicating so much. And it was really nice to have the episode focused on him when he's sort of been along for the ride, but it's a little unclear what his role in the larger story is going to be. So the focus on him this episode, I thought was great.
I'm going to give it up to Laura. A great episode for Laura. Really good moves with Liam, the new leprechaun. Seeing her finally put Mad Sweeney to the side was great. Just a really good, solid episode across the board. I had a lot of fun. And thank you all for listening. If you'd like to support us, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast and YouTube. Come hang out, chat with us about American Gods, iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe and listen at A Godcast on Twitter, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, worship you later.